Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money, but are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 181, episode 1 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive to America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, May 24th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. If you're on Daily Zeitgeist, you gotta get with these trends. Chuggy lasts forever, the hot takes never end. That is courtesy of at Abstrusel, the official dickhead. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Every day we learn what stress is, Miles Gray. The world. Talking about the world. The world.
Ooh, Chrissy Yamaguchi, main.
Thank you for that one. That, you know what I mean? It's true. The world is stressful, but the fact that we can jump on these mics and talk that shit, that y'all can listen and laugh and shit, it makes it better. But thank you. At Waffle House.
Makes it worse for me, but yeah, definitely better for you guys. Well, Miles, we are thrilled.
Yo, your fingernails, I would cut them, Jack. Your fingernails looking wild long.
Let me see those.
No, ooh, they're chewed off.
Those are Guinness.
They're
those
tiny. I have tiny nail beds, and I always keep them tight because my anxiety. I always notice that when I'm on vacation is the only time that my nails get like long because I stop chewing them off,
with my skin tan and my nails long, looking like I'm on vacation.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant and talented comedian, Sarah Jones.
Hello, guys. What's up?
I've been meaning to ask you, what the fuck, what's been going down since they tried to do Nyan Cat as an NFT?
Yeah.
I can't talk about that, dude.
Oh.
What do you mean? Like legally?
Yeah.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's what I like to hear. That was the answer I was hoping for. We can't
Damn,
talk
the
about
the mood.
That. Do we even have to
changed
the kiss? The kiss to the thumbs down.
Yeah.
Do we have to cut us even asking you out? Or you?
No, no.
Okay.
That's fine.
You just can't.
Okay. We'll leave it there.
All right. I got
no news right now.
Okay. We'll leave it
share.
There.
No news.
That's the end of the podcast, guys. No
there
more
it is.
News.
Well, thanks so much. Where can people find us?
Yeah, no problem. I'm on Instagram.
What's new though?
You know, lawyer stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I love to talk to my lawyer. I'm chilling. No more Dodger. I was working at the Dodger Stadium vaccination site. It's gone now.
Right.
Today is, I believe, the final day.
Wow.
RIP, Dodger Stadium vaccination site, run by CORE, headed by Sean Penn. Thank you, Sean Penn, for being my boss.
What was it like? What was he good as a boss? Pretty chill?
He sent us a really long email like the second day that I worked there, and everybody ignored it. And that's when I knew it was a good place to work.
Yeah. How many times did it mention El Chapo? when I was with Chapo.
Constantly.
Whoa, what?
For real, though, I did see him walking around, and he would have like a pack of American Spirits sticking out of his pocket. I was like, this guy keeps it real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he wants you to know it.
Him he and does. Kid Rock. And I saw it, and I knew it.
Unforgivable, that Kid Rock video, unfortunately.
Oh, where they come to that meeting
where
of the
minds?
Where
they come together, yeah.
Was that like...
It was like Rogan in
2016? Was that like in the lead up to the election or right after the inauguration?
I thought it was 2012.
Oh, yeah. They presaged this. Good for them. They knew that America was bad.
They knew that we'd
ago.
Be able to come together
they knew
just over
was up
some
9
drinks
years ago.
In Malibu. Who knew that a couple multi-millionaires could come together? It's truly a wonderful thing.
It's very inspiring for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or anyone seeking to make branded content.
Yes. Well, Sarah June, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. This is the biggest news in my life that I've had revealed to me. There are 5 different McDonald's eggs. One is by far better. I'm going to be able to put this into action immediately.
Wait, like versions of how they have an egg there?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
No, Miles, there's 5 different hens that lay the McDonald's
this
eggs,
is what I mean.
And each one lays a different kind of egg, and these are the hens, and they live in Alabama.
So what's the difference between the
They
hens?
Live in Alabama, and they just lay them directly into pneumatic tubes, and they just go shoot out all to the different...
5 birds.
Yeah, one of them is baby hen, sporty hen, sugar hen, ginger hen, and scary
and
hen.
McMuffin hen.
And McMuffin just, hen, yeah.
Did you just get called one Syria?
No, sporty. Scary.
Scary hen.
And Syria.
Not Syrian. Syrian.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just, no, just
one
generally.
Of the
and Syria.
Syrian.
That's the other one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're going to talk about just where things are in the U.S. around commentary around Israel and Palestine. And
I thought we were going for eggs. I thought we were going to do another egg thing.
An egg episode.
Well, you know, I thought you were going to the things in the commentary around. I was like, eggs. It's going to be eggs. It's going to be eggs.
Israel, Palestine. Okay.
Eggsrail.
I will talk about how.
Palest fried. Pochestine.
I mean, I'm just going to let it go until you run out.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks, Jack.
Oh, that was good. We'll talk about that was beautiful.
No, that was really good. Cut this all out. Justin,
never,
erase this all.
Never, Justin. We're going to talk about how people are treating being vaccinated in online dating sites. We'll talk about the main event is, of course, that there's another Quincy Jones interview.
Yes.
We'll talk about Law & Order SVU possibly saving a little girl, and we'll talk about Gwyneth Paltrow's exploding vagina candles trademark. All of that, plenty more. But first, Sarjum, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I am, as usual, Googling rich people who own land in California. And so I was reading a little bit about Arabella Huntington, one of the former richest women in California, along with my other favorite former richest woman in California, Sarah Winchester, owner and designer of Winchester Mystery House. I mean, these women, they had no jobs and they had all their dead husbands' money. So, you know, they made enormous houses with stairs that go to nowhere. Or if you're Arabella, you just like collect art and jewelry and insist on a huge garden that then becomes a public thing after you die.
Yeah, that's kind of I love the Huntington Gardens.
Nice. Yeah, it's really cool.
I'm like, thank you, wealthy person, for allowing this place to be a park I got to pay $30 to get into. But
it is, it is really nice to go.
It kind of it works out.
Well, it's so nice to go there. And then you realize that this whole thing was once just like one rich family's home.
Yeah,
and,
their yard.
Feels good. It feels good that you're there. Feels like you're trespassing, even though you paid $30.
Yeah, you're like, wait. This whole Asia section with the Chinese pavilion and Japanese tea, this is some motherfucker's backyard from 70 years ago. You're like,
fuck. There's like hundreds of people on the grounds and everybody is so far apart. Everybody's taking pictures and it's like, wow, this really used to be like one rich lady's yard.
Right. What did the where'd the Huntington dough come from?
What do you mean the Huntington? The Huntingtons?
Like, yeah, like what's their what
the families?
Where'd the wealth come from?
Railroads.
Oh,
and
right, okay.
Collis Huntington was one of those guys who came over, was like, wow, there's a lot of money to be made laying rail and blowing up mountains, and I'm about to make it. So yeah, he's a railroad guy.
Simpler times.
Now
we got to go viral on TikTok that was, with a cool dance or something.
Just to be... Cancel culture ruined everything. You used to be able to just go to a place that wasn't a state yet and just chip away at all of their rocks and find the shiny bits and take them and leave.
Yeah. And be like, who are these other people that are here? I don't know. Ignore them. Yeah. Just kind of force them out with weapons or something.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Cool. But, you know, now what do we get, Miles? Mr. Potato Head is gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Truly, it
direct
used to be
line,
a better time.
Direct line. Direct line.
Direct line.
Wait,
slippery slope.
Were Vanderbilts also the railroad people? Like, was everybody railroad? Was railroad just the... Like basically the social media platform of the day.
Yes. Shipping and railroads was also, Vanderbilt, the original, the first rich Vanderbilt was a shipping and railroad guy.
And Hearst.
Yeah.
All those.
Hearst was newspaper.
Publishing.
Yeah. Hearst didn't really make much money in railroads.
I thought that was just one of the things. I thought it was like the, you know, the media arm. He was smart.
Yeah, maybe. So overwhelming because he's got a castle. People got. Have you been to Huntington Gardens, though, Jack?
Is that different
in Pasadena?
Yeah, I have been there for the light show.
No,
during
was
the
that
winter
parking lot rave. I told you to meet me at.
There's like a mausoleum and a library, and there's like a lot of Huntington things.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, I'm now looking up George Hearst, American businessman and miner, and politician.
Oh.
But I think he was William Randolph Hearst.
No, his dad was a miner. His dad was a gold guy.
Yeah.
He was born in a log cabin.
It's all earth fucking, no matter what, for these people.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
At a certain point, it's like, I fucked the earth, and whether I blew mountains up or took a bunch of minerals and shit, that's what I was into.
Yeah.
Is Descanso Gardens different?
It is. It's another different garden.
Like La Cañada. Flint Ridge area.
No. That's also in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Is it technically?
Yep.
Oh shit. Cause it's like in that very odd border section of the county.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's La Cañada Flint Ridge. They call it. Yeah.
Descanso is very nice, but it's a lot smaller than the Huntington.
Yeah. It feels like if the, Huntingtons were on welfare, they would have made Descanso Gardens.
Mm-hmm. So I've been to the broke ass version of the Huntington.
Yeah, I've been to the cheap Huntington.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kroger brand Huntington Gardens.
Kirkland signature Huntington Gardens.
That's right. What is something you think is overrated?
I have been watching Grey's Anatomy for the first time. It's not overrated. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Do not jump on me, men. It's good. Yeah. No, it's very good.
Grey's Anatomy's favorite, number one fan base. Men.
Number one enemy.
Although they would be the ones who would be like, oh, what are you talking about?
Name three storylines.
Name three storylines.
You're a fan of Grey's Anatomy? Name three guys that died.
Right.
So I'm now on season 5 of Grey's Anatomy. If anybody is there, please don't spoil it for me. But my favorite character just joined the army, and that's overrated, you guys. That's all that's going on in my life. My favorite character on Grey's Anatomy joined the army. I have nothing else going on.
And what you were just like, look at this boot-licking motherfucker. Yeah. Just like under your breath, sucking your teeth.
I'm like, it's, what year is it when this came? It was like 2008. I mean, what a time to have your character join the army and do all these episodes where you're like, it's good to join the army. Remember, it was like 2007.
Yeah.
War for oil.
What the literally, hell did... What was the point of this? Is a character a doctor joining the army?
Yeah, he's joining the army to be a doctor in the army.
Isn't that like
a 2010?
Because he was so compelled to be patriotic, like, that he wanted to offer his services to the military? Or he's like,
in season 5, there's a new character who's like, I was a trauma surgeon in the military, and then everybody in my platoon died, and they sent me back. So now I work in Seattle, and then he makes it sound good or something. Or they have to do a crossover with the guy who plays Matt Saracen on... Friday Night Lights. They have a lot of Friday Night Lights actors show up on Grey's Anatomy, which is interesting. It's sort of like the old Hollywood studio thing where they would just be like, you're my actor. I put you in every show.
Right.
So they just have like Coach Taylor shows up to special guest on Grey's Anatomy at some point. It's awesome.
There's
really an
audience track that's like, woo!
There's cheerleaders sometimes in the OR. It's weird.
Did somebody say full hearts?
No, I really have heart failure. I have full heart.
I'm
having heart failure. Yes, please. My heart is full.
My heart. It's
liquid.
Full of plaque. Yeah, yes. Full of plaque. Can't pump. So
can't pump. Full hearts can't
pump. Sorry. Clear eyes. Full hearts can't pump.
Cool. Yeah. Cool skin because I'm dying.
Yes. It's upsetting to me. I don't know if he's really going to go, or maybe they'll bring him back. But you know what? It's overrated, dude. I don't like when characters on TV, they're doctors. They're supposed to be doctors in America, you know?
Sure.
Do you see what I mean? Does anybody else feel betrayed? I feel betrayed.
It's very 2010, though.
It's 2010.
Yeah, that was seen as like the cool thing. Because like it was early Obama. People were like, you know, we did it. Things are good. You know, he's
we
bring
did
him.
It.
We did it, guys.
Two years into a huge recession, we were like, let's send more doctors around the world.
I feel like it was like mainstream American culture was a bunch of like West Wing fans who were just yes.
Love that West Wing hate is becoming mainstream now.
Yeah. But so that was how they wrote them off the show. They were just like,
I don't know, I haven't gotten
join
there
the army.
This kind of character
so.
Feels like old school.
Literally ship them out.
Sorry guys, I'm shipping off.
I'm gonna go be a coffee farmer in Indonesia.
That's how I would write you off this show.
Yeah,
Miles left the show. He had to go farm coffee in Indonesia.
He's out.
Yeah, he's out. Sorry, guys. You know, that was always his dream.
That was always his
dream. We established that early on.
And guys, don't read the stuff on Twitter where he's saying there's some kind of contract dispute. That has nothing to do with it. The character Miles from this show loved to grow coffee, and that's where he went.
That's right.
I don't know. I guess his Instagram shows he's still in LA, and he's ranting. I don't know. But in our hearts, he's in Indonesia.
In our hearts, in my story, in my fanfic, Miles is in Indonesia right now. Mm.
What is something you think is underrated?
I think it's underrated, and this is, again, Grey's Anatomy related, and that is all you will be getting from me today is Grey's Anatomy content. So I hope you like it. It is underrated that I really like that men have to be hot now. That's nice that standard has now been applied to all genders. It's just that everybody has to be hot, because it used to be that if you were watching a movie and they introduced a guy, you couldn't tell if he was supposed to be hot until you heard the music cue or saw the main character's reaction. Because a lot of the time they would present you with like a really average looking guy.
Right.
Not an ugly guy,
yeah,
just a regular looking guy.
Uncle.
Yeah. But then the characters would be like, oh, he's fine or whatever, yeah. you know, and you'd have to see that to know, because they were just like, yeah, we can't find any hot guys. We just right. don't know where to find them.
Or the white, now, or the white guy who, like, the white cis heterosexual guy who, like, was directing the movie, just, like, didn't give a shit. Was like, that guy's yeah. probably hot, right?
Like, yeah, like, this guy's fine.
Or
yeah,
the director's like, the guy can't be hotter than me because I want to yeah. think right. I can fuck these people in my mind.
Right. Yeah.
Like, also, like, where would we be without this move? Someone lowering their glasses? To be like,
yeah, we'd be nowhere.
Excuse him?
Miles just had some sunglasses, just pulled some shades from the
I've got
ether.
All kinds of props, you know, yeah. around here. we can do a terrible improv scene if
mustaches.
You like.
Mustaches.
Wait, now he has giant scissors? What are you doing with those giant scissors?
Cut it out, Jack. I felt like on Sex in the City, though, too, that's when I would always see, like, normcore-ass dudes, and they're like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, wow,
yes.
he's a suit big. And he's a lawyer. Like, yeah. what the fuck are y'all talking about?
Yeah, it was.
But it took their reaction
weird.
For me
it's
to
weird.
Say, like, oh, that's what's hot.
And then, for you to understand what's supposed you know, to be hot.
Actually, now that you say that, I think about the confusion that overcame me as like a pubescent boy being like, this is what they're feeling? Like, right. this is what's hot? I'm like, oh, yep. I'm in trouble then. Cause I'm yep. not, I don't look like some fucking little league coach.
Well, sometimes I would see that and I would be like, am I hot? Because I'm hotter than that guy, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I don't think I'm hot, but like, if that's the standard, but there is a completely different standard for girls and guys. And now,
sure.
because,
of,
you know, now we have YouTube beauty tutorials. Nobody has an excuse to not know what to put on their face.
How to alter
Nobody
your
has
face
an excuse.
With paints.
Yeah, how to alter your face with paints, how to moisturize your skin, how to dress. All this information yeah. is on the internet now. And it's also... thanks to a lot of people working very hard, there's more people of color on TV, so you don't just have to go with the best looking white guy. Now right. you can go with the best looking any race guy, which really widens your field to the yeah. hottest of the hot.
Yeah. yeah I mean, absolutely. Reggae Jean from fucking, what's the, Bridgerton.
Bridgerton.
yeah. I remember getting a fight with Her Majesty. I was like, yo, like, you think I could be in a show like him? And she's like, hell no. I was like, oh. thank you Woo! For keeping it 100, though. I get it. He's beautiful.
Anna is yelling in the chat to be hornier when we talk about him. Anna, oh, yeah, I am horny.
That is, this is the most yeah. specific note we've ever gotten from Anna as
actually,
our producer.
Be hornier.
Anna
be
is hornier. Always, she's consistent with this one. She's like, if we're talking reggae, Jean, get the horniness up.
Right.
Hold on, I'm going to my Zoom recorder and turning
well,
up the horny dial.
It is difficult to identify with when you're talking about him and just not being horny.
Look, you're either going to get horny or you're going to get down on yourself.
I okay? turned right. off my sploosh mic so you can't hear
yeah, yeah.
what's going on.
That's right. Boing. The sploosh mic that we do usually ask that all guests have a sploosh mic.
Yeah.
You know, just
it's a lob. It's a lob.
yeah,
it's just a
lob.
It's a lab lob. It's a no, lob
yeah.
clip
yeah.
to my
it's
labes.
It's actually one of those and, like Omni mics that they use in NFL games on the sidelines. Uh-huh. just
right.
to get
yeah.
focused sound no matter
it's
what.
It's just a mic I shove up there. And it's channel 2, but I turned it down.
All right, switch
I turned
to
it
two.
Way down.
For all my production people out there.
All right, let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And we're back. And also, I just want to say that, like, as bad as it was in the 90s and early aughts, go back and watch commercials from like the 70s of the sorts of dudes who would appear, because it was just like dadcore, like mustaches, and like it was so dominated by like just dads, like dad.
Well, going to the gym was really niche. You know, dad bod was the only bod.
Right. It was it.
Or it's like default, like I have like a physical job and I'm not eating as much processed food, so my body looks different by virtue of like work culture and what the foods that are available.
Right.
Because there are times like I look at like my dad or my uncles, I'm like, damn, we all were like fucking fit and shit. Like, what the fuck was going on? Like, we were poor and we made our own food and like we worked like physical shit, like we moved shit around. I don't know, we were doing shit.
Made our own food is it. That's the whole thing. It's
made our own food and lifted bricks.
Yeah. I don't know. We did labor and ate. We weren't eating a bunch of chips all day. I'm like, okay, don't leave my chips alone.
Yeah.
We weren't sitting in front of a fucking mic all day running our mouths, Miles.
Yeah. Talking about non-fuckable Tolkiens or whatever you were talking about.
Talking about terpenes and zeitgeists.
All right, let's talk real quick. Just something to kind of send you off on your day as you're listening to this. If you're driving by Mickey D's, you get that breakfast
sandwich.
Demand that
they first pay their workers more.
Yeah, first demand they pay their workers a livable wage.
Don't cross
wage.
A picket line if there is one.
But, so the takeout was pointing out that apparently there are 5 different types of eggs that McDonald's serve with their breakfast sandwiches. And the easy, quick version is just ask for a round egg. If you're getting a breakfast sandwich, that's the one that's like a freshly cracked egg poured into the round egg stencil
ring.
Yeah.
Ring.
Well, yeah. And the other versions are like the square egg that's folded like a pamphlet. And there's also scrambled eggs, but those all come in liquid form. They arrive at the McDonald's in liquid form. So the only way to get a freshly cracked egg poured into an egg stencil is by asking for the round egg.
At first, I was shocked by this news, but I realized my mouth had already guided me to the proper decision. Because I love the breakfast. Look, I love the breakfast. Okay, it's a coveted item for me. But always, whether it was the deluxe breakfast, those scrambled eggs just didn't feel right. That folded sheet scrambled thing, nah. McMuffy is where I'm at.
Yeah, so McMuffins naturally have these. I think the sausage McMuffins have these as well. The scrambled egg, though, comes with like a lot of the bread. Like it comes with the biscuit breakfast sandwiches. It comes with the McGriddles.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What is this? A damn McDonald's commercial?
Yeah. Jack? Let's talk about Israel and Palestine, Jack.
Okay, guys. All right. Make me feel like an asshole for giving people.
Stop trying to avoid talking about Israel and Palestine, Jack.
I'm just saying. Anything else? What do you guys think of Burger King? Have you tried Burger King's breakfast sandwich?
Like, I'm just saying. God, serious.
All right. Yeah. So I feel like this time the conversation around Israel and Palestine has been noteworthy for comparatively how willing people are to openly criticize Israel in the mainstream media. But I feel like the pushback began towards the end of last week. The AP just fired a young reporter after a couple weeks for being an active member of the pro-Palestinian group's Jewish Voice for Peace and Students for Justice in Palestine at Stanford University. A right-wing group, Stanford College Republicans, started a complaint campaign against her.
Those are my favorite
fired.
Guys.
Yeah, Stanford Republicans.
Yeah. Look. Earthfucker 2.0.
Yeah.
Stanford himself, Earthfucker.
Yeah.
CNN had a Pakistani diplomat on and got his thoughts on the situation, and he was, like, throwing out all sorts of anti-Semitic tropes. There was a protest and counter-protest in Times Square that ended in violence, and it was covered as anti-Semitic hate crime. So I don't know. It's starting to, I think, turn just how the mainstream media is covering it. And it is, I mean, yeah, there's obviously anti-Semitism in the country. It's just frustrating that it gets
conflated
with criticism of an apartheid state and war crimes. Those are unrelated things. And it seemed like we were starting the conversation at a place that recognized that. And now more and more that is being lost or kind of fogged over a little bit.
I think it's becoming in a way more nuanced. I like that. I like that I don't think that this backlash is a good thing. You know, I don't like that there have been hate crimes, like an uptick in anti-Semitic hate crimes. But it does seem like people are starting to understand on a very broad general scale that Zionism and Judaism are different, and that one is a political ideology and one is a religion, and that that is one of the big issues here. And kind of where all of the violence is coming in is people who still conflate Zionism with Judaism and think Jews are bad.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's even wild too, because you think in February, right, Facebook was getting in a lot of heat because they were trying to put Zionism as like a term that would be interpreted as hate speech. Like,
which
in terms of
weird.
To take away critiques of Zionism,
right.
Where people would talk about, you know, have a critical take on Zionism and like, oh, this has been flagged. And it's like, wait, hold on. And you see just
well,
sort
it's
of how
sometimes people use Zionist as a code word
absolutely.
For Jew.
Right. Of
absolutely.
Course.
When
of
they're
course.
Being anti-Semitic, which is not helpful.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I think this is it's the same thing that even happens in any sort of debate that begins over oppression and racial inequality or racism, that the hegemonic class or the oppressive class or group can find ways to begin distorting it to actually, like we're seeing now, conflate things like, yeah, because it's absolutely abhorrent for this to turn into attacks against just Jewish people off the strength. You're like, what is I'm so what? No, like if we're trying to advocate for the people of Palestine who are, you know, being colonized and killed, and we no longer want our government to have a hand in this and maybe pump the brakes on sending all these checks over, because as we understand it, too, The ceasefire seemed like it may have been conditioned on some things like, don't worry, we're going to get some money over to y'all in a second.
Right.
Just, can you agree to this ceasefire?
Right.
Because Republicans have been pushing more, like, they're like, we need to get this money over there. We need to get this. It's all, but yes, to your point, it is becoming more nuanced. And even like the fact that even on when Netanyahu went on CBS, that anchor John Dickerson straight up was like, oh, hold up. Are you just like bombing them because you failed to form a government like four times and you're facing a corruption trial? Is this maybe why you're doing this? This seems like a pattern with you, BB. And that was like, I was like, oh, shit, really?
Wow.
Corporate media like that going to ask a pointed question like that? So I think, yeah, there is this, whether it's people who felt that it was just like with anti-black racism in this country, was like a thing. It's like, well, if you started talking about it, you would be looked at as like a disturbance in a company that wasn't really interested in racial justice. And now I'm sure for journalists who have been, who have traveled, who have seen things with their own eyes, they're like, I feel like I have to be actually be able to talk about this. Like this.
Well, it's, I think one thing that's important in this story is that it's not just that she's a journalist, which is probably, which is like really huge, but I think some of the most passionate activism that I have seen for Palestine has been on behalf of American Jews, like this reporter who have family in Israel, have been to Israel, have seen Israel, have sometimes experienced Palestine and Gaza and the West Bank, but some of them have only had sheltered experiences that they know, and some of them have supported Palestine because they have seen it again with their own eyes. And that's something that I think is really upsetting to see, you know, to have your community turn against you because you're speaking out about something that you think is right. And it's really, really hard for American Jews who have been raised with a lot of, you know, propaganda given to them about what Israel is and what it represents for them. And, you know, and to see a genocide happening and to speak out against it, even though it means that your community might call you a traitor, is, I can't imagine how hard that is. And it just makes me so upset to see people who do this getting backlash from Stanford Republicans.
Right. For a take as simple as like, I'm looking at this. This looks like the worst kind of oppression I've seen.
I've been taught my whole life to understand what the beginning of a genocide looks like, and I'm seeing it.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Right. They got, they also pulled out an old tweet where she described Sheldon Adelson as a naked mole rat looking billionaire, which is,
where's the lie?
Yeah, that is the most objectively true thing that I've ever heard in my life. Like, that just means she's a good journalist.
He's more Java-y, you know, if I'm going to split hairs, but right. Either way.
Any that... Sheldon Adelson slander is completely justified and fine. Anti-Semitism is real, but he's the worst.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about where we're at with the vaccination nation. We're having to get creative to encourage people to get out here and get some vaccine in their arm.
We got these. We got to squeeze these margins out, man. We got to get these numbers across the line because, you know, shit stalled out because I don't know. People are still fucking worried about getting a shot that could spread, that stop the spread of a virus that's currently destroying India. But, you know, don't worry, because you want to live through the prism of whatever's happening right in front of you. That makes the other shit fake or whatever.
But
just
Miles,
it
makes my arm hurt.
Okay.
It hurt. It hurt my arm.
Or it, yeah. They're like, but it modifies your RNA. I'm like, do you know what? Okay, break that down for me right now. Let's move on.
Oh, they will, though. They'll break it down for you in just like the most bullshit,
watch some TikToks,
confusing
Miles.
Terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in a way that even a doctor would just be like, what the fuck are you
if
even
saying? If you start
saying?
Off being like, okay, like, look, RFK Jr., now I know what you're going to say.
Right.
I really want to say, though, I saw a lady on TikTok who is anti-vax, and she uses the hashtag #MyDNAIsSovereign. And it's like, bitch, your DNA is literally changed by things that happen to you. It is not sovereign, and
that
you are not in
charge
of it.
That cell phone probably changed your DNA.
Yeah.
Let's be real. But no, I don't want to read a study like that that would then broaden my understanding of even the narrow version of the take I'm going after. However, I do want to say this. because of this, because of the vaccine thing stalling out. And some people are inconvenient. Some people are just straight up anti-vax, whatever, or ignorant, too, because I've actually realized there's a staggering amount of people who simply have not given it any thought.
Right.
So I have other friends who are treating it like it's like PS6 is about to come out. They're like, oh, well, you know, I don't want that. And then the new one, you know, like I want the latest one. I'm like, yo, let's be real.
I want vaccine 2.7.
Yeah. Okay. Right. You're like after the firmware update. Fine. Anyway,
you're going to wait in line for it like some sheeple. Just wait until all the craze dies down and then you can go to the Apple store and get it. Just like,
yeah, then you can get normal. A bunch of them and then you can resell them. You just get right. like 8 in your arm and then you go and you take it out with a syringe when you get home, boom, boom, and resell boom. It on eBay.
Yeah. So make my arm look like a hedgehog. I just want
to
all
help
of
this
them.
Though, to help people, because a lot of, again, people are ignorant. Some people just don't know. Some people have even given it thought. A lot of the dating apps are now offering perks
for
users on there to have like vaxxed badges. You know what I mean? Like we could kiss raw, no mask. And help people just kind of realize that this whole thing isn't some gigantic, you know, like risk you're taking.
Yeah.
The vaccine, not online dating, because that shit is a fucking right. nightmare.
Yeah.
But so you have Tinder, Hinge, Match, OkCupid, BLK, Chispa, Plenty of Fish, Bumble. The list goes on. Special Bennies, vaccination badges. Tinder is allowing vaccinated people to get free premium content, like a super like.
Oh, shit.
It also adds people to have like a getting vaxxed or vaccine save live stickers to their profiles. Same thing. OkCupid will help like they'll boost your profile if you're vaccinated. Now, I don't know how the fuck they're verifying that. You could just Photoshop something for all I know. But on top of that, right, they found on OkCupid, they say, according to our research, people who are vaccinated or plan to get vaccinated receive 14% more matches than people who don't plan to get vaccinated. That sounds like a straight up lie, but I like the energy.
Why do you think that's a lie?
I mean, it just feels like such a hard carrot on a stick. I'm not saying it is or isn't, but it's a very good compelling where you're saying like, hey, man, people that get vaccinated, fuck more.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay.
OkCupid has always been unapologetically just like digging into the data that they find out, being like, oh, you guys are racist, like just openly like telling people
yeah,
shit about
OkCupid
themselves.
Is like, oh yeah, we matched you guys because you're both kind of racist,
right?
And it
exactly
works.
yeah
in a way, maybe the people who don't get vaccinated will have better matches,
right? Because
you know what I mean?
That's a very specific,
that's like
vibe.
How are you not gonna have something in common with someone who's also anti-vax? Like they're gonna be like, oh, you're racist.
Right.
You're like, I'm just anti-vax.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's a small...
like, what? Come on now.
It's a smaller portion of the population, though, right?
You got your religious ones. You got your QAnon ones. You got your Luddites.
Yeah.
You know, not literal Luddites, but, you know.
That Luddite mentality.
And then you got your sneakerheads, who are the ones that are waiting for the new one. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons, Jack. It's a diverse community.
The sneakerhead. The sneakerhead anti-vax.
There's rich guys, you know, there's actors.
Yeah. There's LeBron.
But the other thing, what's interesting is last week there was a huge ProPublica investigation into like the dating apps and like OkCupid too, about how they are terrible at resolving like claims of sexual assault.
Oh, that's good.
So it's interesting that within a week, it's like the new headline involving them was like, yeah, we're on the vaccine train, man. We'll make sure everybody gets the vaccinations.
Yep.
We're doing good. Doing great.
Yeah, doing okay. Don't know.
Everything's
I'm
good.
Doing cool. Cool, cool.
All right. Let's take a break and we'll be right back and talk Quincy.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And for people who aren't day ones for Daily Zeitgeist, one of the best things I think we ever did as a podcast was just a story about a Quincy Jones interview. Miles interpreted a bunch of Quincy Jones's statements.
Yeah. That was our 80th episode.
Wow. And we're at, what, 1,000
now? So if you're interested, episode 80, where it was you, me, and Jaquise.
That's right. That's right. All right. So this time he is talking about all the racism he experienced in his career.
But it's a Quincy Jones interview, so like...
Yeah, there's just gems.
There's questions, and yeah, he answers a couple about how, like, Truman Capote was, like, racist, and, like, he was, like, you know, how when he was scoring films, like, the racism he encountered, because they're like, you hired a Negro, but this film doesn't have Negros in it. Like, he's a fucking
Jesus
musician.
Fucking Christ.
So, yes.
We should what were some of the things that he covered in the first one that, like...
The first one was, like, he dated Ivanka.
Yeah.
What?
That she wanted to date him
or something. She wanted to date him. And he would just say all these kinds of out-of-pocket stories and then do these hard pivots.
Yes.
And it got him in a lot of trouble with his daughters. Like, Kidada and Rashida Jones were like, Dad, the fucking interview's a meme now because of the shit that you're saying. Like, you like Brazilian music is like a meme now when it comes to Quincy Jones. Because I forget what he said. It's like, just something wild. And he's like, anyway, you like Brazilian music? It's like, you just said something about you think you know who killed JFK.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was like, because it was the mob. You like Brazilian music? Like, it was like, whoa, okay. So my man's damn near 90. So he still keeps it really honest. Keeps it funky.
Let him
Have they ever
speak.
Given a Pulitzer for the subject of an interview? Because I feel like he could.
Yeah. Because also, you think one. About how this man's career, like what it spanned, you know, and he like, you know, like worked, like I think he wrote Fly Me to the Moon and shit. Had the first song ever played on the moon. Yeah. Like, he's there's no one heavier than Quincy Jones, like, when it comes to music. That's why a lot of people were upset when Fat Joe was like, DJ Khaled is the new Quincy Jones. And people were like, sir,
out of here, please.
Sir, please have every seat and lean back out of the conversation. So, okay, I want to talk about just a few tidbits because these are good. And the first one will deal with racism and the rest probably won't. This first question, did you ever work with Elvis? No, I wouldn't work with him. Why not? I was writing for orchestra leader Tommy Dorsey. Oh, God. Back in the 50s, and Elvis came in and Tommy said, I don't want to play with him. He was a racist mother. I'm going to shut up now. But every time I saw Elvis, he was being coached by Otis Blackwell, telling him how to sing. Basically saying like, yeah, this black man was helping Elvis, you know, steal a culture. Mm. And then he got another question. What's your secret to recognizing talent? He talks about how he heard Billie Holiday and things. He said, I want a singer that after 15 seconds of hearing them, I know exactly who they are. Because singers have that kind of identification or not. And I work with all of them. I worked with Billie Holiday at 14. God.
What did you learn from Billie?
What did I learn from Billie? Oh, my God. Stay away from heroin. She could barely get to the stage, man. She could barely walk on the stage. But Bobby Tucker was like my brother.
What? Huh?
The band leader for Billie Holiday, but like he just leaves these
such
answers.
Like perfect old guy.
What'd
shit.
You learn this from Billie Holiday? Man, yeah. You said you treat her like a dare class. Fucking right. Billie Holiday, man, don't touch that heroin. Okay, he says. Then they go.
But
on,
I like that know. Bobby though.
Yeah, love Bobby Tucker like a brother. Then they talk about, you know, his mother. He goes on to say he was really fine in his solitude because when he was younger, his mother was put into a hospital because she had dementia precox. And that was he said he'd never had a mother since he was 7 years old. And he's been searching ever since, I think. Damn. Was the quote from that.
It's like some insightful shit.
Then the interviewer asks, have you ever been in therapy? Hell no. But something like dementia precox, boy, that's tough. Oh, my God. We went out to that Manteno State Hospital when she went in. He's talking about his mom. That first day we went, a patient was up on a chair with a bowl with feces in it. She dutied in it. And she was telling all the patients, you shall have no pie. You shall have no pie. Okay. Thank you. That even whether that's it was the aggressive so... hell no or this other anecdote.
I love
again,
the hell
Quincy.
No.
Painting a picture.
Like saying it's so good that after saying something like really insightful about his own like lifelong search for a mother, the person's like, oh, so you've been to therapy? Hell no.
Hell no. Like, and then he says like some like that? Problematic stuff, be like, yeah, this woman's duty in a bowl. You know what I mean? Shit was wild. Like, hold on. Quincy, please. Quincy. Then he goes on, this is another quote that's fucking amazing. He says, you know, we've got to learn everything about music. Because it's the most fantastic, magical gift. I mean, people cannot live without music or water. You know that? Mm-hmm. Could you live without music? I don't want to. What sign are you? The interviewer says, I'm a Leo. That's great. I'm Pisces, Leo rising, and a Scorpio moon. Everything I need. Got me feeling so horny. I've had Leo girlfriends. Boy, oh boy, they don't play.
Whoa. Who is interviewing him?
I want to hang out. I want to hang out with him.
I mean, just saying that energy, Seth Abramovich is
got
the one interviewing him.
So horny.
Then just this one last thing again, you know, like even with he talks about like sort of the he can understand his own experiences with like mental health and how that relates to his mother. He then has a really interesting take about religious racism. So what did you think about all the George Floyd protests last summer? He said it's been coming a long time, man. People have been turning their heads the other way. But it's all the same to me. Misogyny, racism. You have to be taught how to hate somebody. It doesn't come naturally, I don't think. I don't think so, unless you've been trained. I just think it's such a bad habit. These racists? Oh, my God. Asians? How the hell do you get mad at an Asian girl? Quincy. Oh
my God.
What the fuck is you saying, man? Shut the fuck up, bro.
Oh, my God.
That's that old school shit. Where, how you gonna get mad at an Asian girl? That's not racism, Quincy.
I mean, that's...
But, okay. So, the interview is also, like, chock full of just... You see, he talks about how he wasn't fucking with Donny Osmond because he didn't want people knowing he was working with Donny Osmond. And when he told it to Oprah, he said he killed the deal.
Oh, really?
Because, like, I told you not to be telling people we were working together.
Because
he wasn't
so
really
whack.
Feeling it that he was working with Donny Osmond.
That's so fucking funny, man.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's back at it again. The man who spans, at this point, 17 decades, if we're using Andrew Giuliani math.
Yeah, yeah. I still haven't figured out the math on how Andrew Giuliani has been, is 35,
but has touched but five has, decades.
Has been in politics for 5 decades, even though this is the very first political thing he's ever done.
I mean, it's because we're barely through another decade and he was born on the tail end of one. Right. So he doesn't have to fill, you know, we went over.
He's had experience in politics
since three.
Within,
what was it?
Within 5 decades.
Right. And his experience started when his dad first started flirting with his mom to have that affair that eventually led to. Right.
That's experience.
Yeah,
I don't
that
know
is experience.
Where you come from, but where I come from, what your parents do is also you.
Wait, just one other thing. When he talked about how horny he was about being a squirrel, like his sign, they said the Brown.
Those are some horny signs.
Do you consult an astrologist? He said, I study with John Glenn, the astronaut. He said he took me aside and decided to teach me about astrology from an astronaut's point of view. And what he said, yo, that shit's bullshit. I've been up in that fucking, what the fuck you talking about? Don't worry about astrology. Like,
I studied with him and he said that shit is bullshit.
I mean, I don't know. I made that part
does
up.
I studied with John Glenn mean I had a conversation with John Glenn?
Yeah.
Right.
Where he was probably like, hey, man, you ever fuck a Scorpio? All the time, Quincy. He's like, my man. All right, brother. I'll
we
see
studied
later.
Together. I yeah. graduated.
Oh, yeah, man. We had a menage with a Pan Am flight attendant.
Oh, man. Got me feeling so horny.
Got me feeling. He's talking about his own. I love it, though. Leo rising, Scorpio move. Got me feeling so horny.
Everything I need.
Those are some hot signs.
I know, yeah. Scorpios. I've had some fire relationships with Scorpios. Not always good.
Scorpio girlfriends, boy, oh boy, they don't play.
Lot of
energy.
Don't
play.
They don't play. They don't play. They'll scratch your eyes out. You gotta be careful. Gotta wear eye
There's
protection
passion.
Like Kurt Rambis.
The passion of the Pisces, the narcissism of the Leo, and Ooh. The horniness of the Scorp.
Ooh, yeah.
All in that, one very old man.
One old man who will regale you with stories about Frank Sinatra's fucking habits.
Wait, is that in this interview?
No, but I just feel time? Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like we gotta try and get Quincy to do a podcast and just be like, yo.
That's what I'm
Quincy,
saying. I can't believe his
rip.
Kids want him to stop doing this.
Yeah, this
in
is.
In print. This is awesome.
Beautiful.
And like, and this means that you don't have to sit around and listen to him ramble. Because right. literally reporters want to do it. So this is the best case
and
scenario for the child of a very old person. Yes. And these are great stories
lives,
and we'd love to hear them.
In this, I'll sit down. I'll be like, yeah, Quincy here. Man, let me smark another blunt. Man,
Quincy Jones
Scorpio
book
shit.
Or oral history.
Right. I mean, if somebody's not writing the book with him right now, they're making a mistake. The publishing industry is leaving money on the table. I'm sure
right.
somebody had that idea.
It could be anyone, because it seems like he trusts any person interviewing.
Right.
Like, it could be fucking anybody.
What sign are you? Is the screening
yeah, what sign
question.
Are you? Oh, Sagittarian? Hell no. Your head's in the clouds. I can't fuck with you.
All right. Let's talk about Law & Order, SVU. Being a fan might have saved this little girl's life. She was waiting at a bus stop for the school bus, I think, and playing with blue slime.
And someone tried to kidnap her. I'm going to play this news clip because just hearing all of this is just sounds like unreal. So, yes, like Jack was saying, someone attempted to kidnap this 11-year-old girl and she fled and they were able to apprehend the attempted kidnapper because of something she learned from SVU.
That led to the suspect. 11-year-old Alyssa Bonal, who fought off her knife-wielding abductor, had the presence of mind to mark her attacker. She was playing with blue slime when he grabbed her, and she made sure to wipe some of it on him. That trick gave investigators just the evidence they needed.
The suspect, when we caught him, had blue slime all over his own arms.
She got the idea from her favorite TV show.
Me and my mom watched Law & Order SVU and all, and really see what would happen, kidnap, what to do.
Today,
so she was saying, we watch SVU all the time. I see him on kidnappings, like what to do. And she was just giving it up to SVU for giving her the presence of mind to like leave the attempted attacker with some kind of mark or something.
That's beautiful.
Believable.
That fucking rules.
Or, you know, like, if you're a smart parent, I mean, look, if you were playing with that blue slime, the shit might have been all over your hands anyway. And if you're fighting somebody off, you may be getting it on them by virtue of fighting them off. Now, I'm not trying to de-heroify this child, but I just know I wouldn't have the fucking presence of mind like that to be like, here we go. I had like I'm like an ink pack on like a stolen bag of cash from a bank.
Right.
And
I was thinking of
the thief. Yeah.
Every true crime fan is feeling justified today. They're like, right. See, oh, yeah. It works. I know. If I were kidnapped, everybody who loves true crime has thought so many times about what they would do if someone tried to murder them. And they're prepared. And this girl got to carry out a plan. And you love to see it.
That or like I feel like in like Taken, when she like calls out, she gives descriptions of the abductors like over the phone. Like that was a moment I saw a movie. Go, oh, that's smart. Okay, Taken. Let me know. Thanks for that tip. Like, I'm stupid, but
thanks, bro.
That was the last moment I was like, okay.
Especially
Liam,
if you've got an open phone line with a guy with a particular set of skills.
Yeah,
yeah, that is important to know.
Instead, I'll just go live on IG and hope my followers know what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but shout out to that young person.
Yeah, Mariska Hargitay was bigging her up too. She's like, "Yo, love to see it. You'd love to see it."
The fighting him off is also pretty. I would just stand still, and you know, if somebody came at me with a knife, she was immediately just like hitting him with her backpack.
Yeah, shout I mean, she gotta fucking learn how to fight freaky motherfuckers off as a kid.
In Orlando.
You know, but like, don't fucking leave with strangers and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Even as an adult, my friend had a girl try to attack her with a knife. She put her hand in front of her face, and the knife went all the way through her hand.
Oh my God.
But it kept it from going in her face.
Right.
Oof.
Damn. Hand in front of the face. Good to know. See, now this podcast might be saving some people's lives.
Shout out, Kat Ramczynski. Tough motherfucker.
Yeah. Let's talk about somebody who... It's kind of the opposite of that resilient young woman. They are somebody who spent $75 on a candle because the candle promises to smell like Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina, and then lit it, and the candle started hissing, spitting wax all over the place, and exploded. So
it sounds like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Sounds like a fun night.
Yeah, sounds like Gwyneth Paltrow. But yeah, this is we talked. Last year when this was dropped, I mean, we did exactly what they wanted people to do, which is talk about the silly thing that they did, which is releasing a candle called This Smells Like My Vagina. It smells like sandalwood and rosewood and other scents.
Woods.
Other woods. But yeah.
Was there like a vibe inspiration guide to say like why it's these, like how is. Is she saying that her vagina smells like sandalwood?
I believe so. Yeah.
They're like biological, man. See, this is, I know freaky people were like, how are you going to do that? How are you going to make
well,
a candle smell
like that?
What
does it actually smell like?
I think it's just like a very, it's like, probably has nothing, no one would walk in a room and be like, what the fuck y'all doing in
What's
here?
What's been happening in here?
Yeah. Yeah. Rather be like, oh, this is very relaxing. These wooded, herbaceous scents are wonderful. I don't know.
What an aggressive candle name.
Yeah, very aggressive. Very had the desired effect. It's people have spent $75 on it. It is a 10.5-ounce candle. And after burning for an estimated 3 hours or less, in this case, the candle became engulfed in high flames and exploded soon after. And the room was filled with smoke.
How do you do that? Is it like how does a candle explode? Because they're saying, they're probably being like, yo, this dude's lying. Our candles don't explode.
I've definitely had candles that where the flame got real high. Like it was too big a flame. And I could see that like setting the whole top of the candle on fire. At which point, if it's in a jar, I could see something happen.
It basically becomes an oil fire in a jar.
Right, exactly.
Which can explode the jar.
Goop is calling the lawsuit a frivolous lawsuit that's attempting to exploit the attention of a, quote, press-heavy product. Which,
well, whose fault is that, Goop?
Yeah, as if that wasn't like the entire premise of this thing. But this isn't, there's reason to believe this might not be entirely made up. In January, a UK writer penned a essay in The Guardian about how her Goop vagina candle exploded with bits of molten wax flying out as it fizzed and spat. Fizzled and spat. Which actually, like, that makes me, for the first time, interested in this candle. But yeah,
this is like such old technology. We know how to make candles.
Yeah, since the days of whaling, we've had a pretty good grip on on this whole candle thing.
We had figured out the whole burning wick in fat thing.
Yeah
our ancestors would be like, we gave y'all tallow for this. For vagina-scented disasters.
There's a lot of things that can go wrong with a candle, but it's really easy to make one that doesn't explode. And they're so expensive.
Yeah.
They cost $75. They explode, and they also, according to the directions that come with them, are only meant to be lit for 2 hours. No more than 2 hours.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you got it. Only 2 hours, dude.
Who
come
got
on,
a
that's...
candle timer?
What kind of irresponsible candle user leaves their candle lit for more than 2 hours? Come on.
What the fuck? That's the whole point. That's
right.
Why you buy the...
Set it, forget it. What the fuck?
It's like $35 an hour to burn this candle.
Yeah.
Right.
70, and also for 75, like, you might as well just, you dive into them luxury French candles if you're going to drop that kind of coin on a fucking thing. I keep it, look, I like the Yankee candle shit with the wood wick. It's affordable and it keeps my house smelling like a school administrator's home. But yeah, I think the fancy Diptyque ones, those are fucking really two bros by Diptyque. Oh. Ooh. My, that's when you know you somebody with money. Diptyque over here.
Diptyque.
Mm-hmm.
What's your Yankee candle scent, Miles?
Right now I got actually, I have an old holiday Dracar. One on my desk. So this is Crimson Berries. This this one will smell like, you know, like a white person's house on Christmas.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And I got it because, you know, having not white parents, I never had real tradition. Like, there was never like mulling spices. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you go to someone's house where, like, they do fucking Christmas, like with all the fucking,
right,
every sense is engaged and shit. Mm-hmm. I never had that shit. I literally had like a Festivus pole. Like with a couple lights my mom put on.
Did you really?
A couple times. Yeah. Because after a while, my parents were only doing it for me. They're like, do you want a tree? And like when I was really little, I was like, sure. Then I was like, look, bro, we don't fuck with Jesus in this house or Santa. So I don't need the tree. As long as there's gifts on come the morning, then we're good. And that was like a you know, sort of a compromise we reached. But my mom felt bad. So she would put like lights on this one lamp. In the living room.
That's awesome.
So all of that to say is now the pendulum is swinging so hard in the other direction where Her Majesty is like, you are have like these basic tendencies with Christmas things. I'm like, because I'm making up for a version of Americana I did not experience.
Right. Like I don't even know what mulling spices are, but
the spices, yeah, you think about, you know.
Yeah.
You mull,
right,
over them.
Yeah,
got it.
Makes Chris sense. Mullins, Mullen spices. You'd love them.
All right. Sorry, June. It's been a pleasure having you as always.
It's been a pleasure being here as always.
Where can people find you and follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at corpseflower, FLOUR. And you can follow me on TikTok, u_tube_channel. that's where I am online.
Dude, you. Wait, what's your TikTok channel handle?
u_tube_channel.
But U is YOU?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is like YouTube channel.
Yeah. I tried to get YouTube channel straight, but I think somebody took it.
Someone beat you to it.
Yeah, but it's still pretty good.
Handle.
I got some chick videos on there. Got some videos of baby chicks. That's nice. I got some plant videos. You know, it's nothing crazy. I've been really it's been a year at home. You know,
I'm
starting to come out. I'm not really one of those going right to Disneyland types. I'm really starting to come out of it right now.
I'll say your chickens have entered the consciousness over here because I know we have an upcoming show with Anna Saragina and Kyle Mazzono, Truth Hounds. And I believe they were over at your crib for a little bit of an episode. People, guys, we have a new show coming out. We'll let you know. It's going to be
y'all
so
are putting
good.
Out Truth Hounds?
Yeah, that's great.
Truth Hounds are so good.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. Yeah, they helped me out.
Yeah. So anyway, all that to say is I was just thinking about your chickens again.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to hear they're doing well.
They're doing well. I'm doing well. And it's really nice to be. Hey, you know what? It's really fucking nice to be vaccinated. It is great. I'm going to come out. If you haven't been vaccinated, do it. Feels good.
It feels good.
Mm. Looks good. Feels good.
Has there been anything with people when they hit the 2-week window, have it like feeling tired or like feeling like really like Scorpio rising horny? Like,
I got, sorry, first you said tired, then you said horny. So I don't know what you're asking.
No, real tired. Like, I felt like real knocked down. Tired last or night. Horny? Like, I was
fatigued with a priapism.
I hadn't heard of anything like that.
Seems too perfectly timed. It's not like
you could just be.
You could just be on your,
men don't have menstrual periods, but they do have hormone cycles.
We do.
So you could just be at a certain point of your hormone cycle.
That's true. That's very likely.
It's nice to be a girl because then you get to be like, it's probably PMS. What's going on? I'm tired. We're just so out of touch with our bodies. It's fucking always PMS. Like,
dude, I'm a fucking gangster, homie. I got GMS.
Got GPS.
You know what I got? GAS.
There we go.
And sorry, June, is there a tweet that you've been enjoying? A tweet or some other work of social media, perhaps?
There is. There's a nice tweet by Michael Pilochik, I think. It's a shame Robert Altman missed the pandemic. The man loved long, boring Zooms.
That's good.
It's a good tweet.
Hey, get your film degrees out.
Because that's when I brainstorm.
There's another one. I do want to give you this other one because it's also very good. This is from Justin Baldaggi, at Justin Baldaggi. I happened to be walking by when they were filming the finale of Frasier, and I met Kelsey Grammer, and it was the first day of 10th grade, and all I had in my pocket was my school schedule, and I had him sign it, and he said, "What is this, for school? I hated school. See ya," and left, LOL.
That really happened? That fucking rules. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray. Find me there. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiance. Check out that pod. Some tweets that I like. Fuck, it's just more Knives Out 2 shit that I like, because everybody's in motherfucking Knives Out 2.
Coming for Knives Out 2.
And then this one is from Saraya Blue, at Saraya Blue, said, "Starting to think I'm not in Knives Out 2. Everybody's in Knives Out 2. I love it.
A tweet I was enjoying is just from Shiro Hero 666, Shireen Lani Yunus. She just said, "PSA from Mama," and put a picture of a text from Mom that said, "Unclench your jaw, please, now," which is such good advice and so aggressive. Like, now, like, she knew she wasn't going to get her with the first one. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we recommend you go listen to start your week. Miles, what is that recommendation?
It is from McGee or McG. It's MK.GEE. Yeah. We've gone out on a track before, back in fucking 3 years ago, based on the archives I was looking in 2018. We did a track called You. But this track is called CZ. Like, you know, when you have those off diamonds, cubic zirconias. But CZ by McG. And this is just a great track. Again, it feels very soulful but modern, with its like little bits of electronic production, but like great rhythm section. So this is a little something for everybody. So check this one out, McG with CZ.
Not to be confused with the McG who directed my favorite movie.
Charlie's Angels films.
Yeah, yes. My favorite movie, Charlie's Angels.
Wait, what was that Fox show he had? Remember he had that one Fox show that was like off the heels of that? And everyone was like, yo, this show fucking sucks.
He just kept getting shot after shot.
Yeah.
With a name like G, how can you say no to him?
I know.
Yeah.
Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.